Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our Bible study and our time of ministry in the Word of God. The Lord is so good. We're thankful for everything that He's doing in our lives in this lovely season, and I hope you are continuing to enjoy His goodness, you and your loved ones. And wow, what a powerful last several weeks we have had in the presence of the Lord, studying about the wisdom of God, the uncommon reality or the godly reality of uncommon wisdom, the godly reality of uncommon wisdom. I want to cap up tonight. For the last few weeks, we've been learning about how we grow in the spirit of wisdom. How do we increase in the spirit of wisdom? How do we get it? How do we all have the seed of wisdom within our heart, within our spirit, as covenant children of God? But how do we grow in that spirit? In Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 1, the Bible says, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." We're going to do a cap up tonight of the seven different ways of growing in the spirit of wisdom. And I thank you again for joining us on whatever platform you are joining us on tonight. I'm going to have us bow our heads and share a word of prayer and dive right into the material that we have tonight, and trust God that He'll help us cover the grounds we need to cover as we wrap up this particular season, this particular aspect of our studies in this series of wisdom messages. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for your mighty presence that is right here in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, everyone that is joining with us in the Spirit tonight on different platforms. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit of wisdom that is made available to them. I pray, Father, as we get into your word tonight and as we wrap up these several weeks over a couple of months of teachings and just growing in the spirit of wisdom, Lord, let there be an outpouring, a greater outpouring of that spirit of wisdom upon us tonight. I thank you, Father, for your mighty blessings upon all of your people. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen and amen. And thank you so much again for joining us as we cap up tonight our series of teachings on the wisdom of God. Well, it won't stop here, because then we're gonna do reruns. We're gonna try to revisit some of the very relevant and very powerful sessions that we've done already. So join us as you are able, week after week, and let's dig in further. Let's soak in that spirit of wisdom as we remind ourselves, as we allow the Holy Spirit to bring greater emphasis to a number of the things that we have already learned. So there it is, Isaiah 11 from verse 1. "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. We know that we have identified there are seven ways to grow, to get the wisdom of God and to grow in it. And the very first one we identified was the fear of the Lord. We learned that several weeks ago. Walking in the fear of the Lord will see to it that we grow in the spirit of wisdom. The second one was we learn how to be prudent. That if we are prudent, that is applying practical wisdom, actually using the wisdom that we already have, we will grow in the spirit of wisdom. We have also learned the third way that we grow and increase in the spirit of wisdom is by prioritizing it and searching for it diligently. Prioritizing it and searching for it diligently. The Bible says wisdom is too high for a fool. So don't let wisdom be too high for you. Reach for it with everything that you have and engage its power in your life. Say with me, I have the spirit of wisdom and I am growing in the spirit of wisdom, and the river of wisdom from the Holy Spirit is flowing in greater dimensions in my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The fourth way of growing in the spirit of wisdom we learn is by the impartation of the Holy Spirit himself. By the impartation of the Holy Spirit. The more of the Holy Spirit we have, the more of an intimate experience we have with the Holy Spirit, the more we grow in the spirit of wisdom. The more we receive more and more impartations from the Holy Spirit himself of the spirit of wisdom. The fifth way we identified for growing in the spirit of wisdom is by asking for it. The Bible says, if any one of you lack wisdom, that's James chapter 1, any of you from verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, then let him ask of the Lord. Let him ask of the Lord who gives freely without upbraiding. Now, some of these we abbreviated in our lessons just because we just did not have enough time to be able to do an in-depth study in all of these on all of these different ways, but we highlighted some particular ones and kind of put some emphasis on them, and that's what we're going to do as we wrap up tonight as well. The fifth way of growing in the spirit of wisdom is where I'm going to give a lot of my time tonight, is by keeping the company of wise people and receiving counsel from the wise. By keeping the company of wise people and receiving counsel from the wise. So we're going to give some time to that as we wrap up tonight. The seventh way of growing and increasing in the spirit of wisdom is by training the tongue. Training the tongue to be wholesome and seeking peace and harmony in our lives. Training our tongue to be wholesome. I'm going to mention a couple of things about that. And our last point before I go give a lot of my time to the area of seeking counsel, receiving counsel from the wise. And the last one, the last way that we've identified, so that's actually the eighth one, so altogether eight of them, is to grow in faithfulness. To grow in faithfulness, because wisdom and faithfulness actually walk hand in hand. Wisdom and faithfulness are brothers, you know. Wherever you see faithfulness, you see wisdom. You remember the story of the wise virgins, and followed by the story that the Lord Jesus Christ told of a master who traveled on a journey and gave talents to his servants in Matthew chapter 24 I believe verse 45 is the one that's actually talking about who is a wise and faithful. Let's look at that. Wise and faithful steward, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 25. Matthew 24 and verse 45, Matthew 24 and verse 45. Who is then, it says, Matthew 24, thank you, Holy Spirit. Who is then a faithful and a wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Look at that. Who is then a faithful and wise servant? Faithfulness works hand in hand with wisdom. And wherever you find faithful people, you find wise people. Remember the woman Ruth. Ruth was a woman of wisdom. But the reason she was a woman of wisdom was because she was a faithful woman. When her mother-in-law Naomi gave her and her sister-in-law the option of going and doing their own thing, well, her sister-in-law took it. But Ruth said, no, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to continue to be there for you. And because of her faithfulness, when the time came, her mother-in-law released wisdom into her life. And even her decision to be faithful was because she walked in wisdom, was because she had the wisdom of God. So growing in faithfulness, will enable us to grow in wisdom. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to your assignment? Are you faithful to the Lord? Are you faithful to the people around you? Are you faithful to the people that God has called you to serve or to love or to give and things like that? Are you faithful? Because the more you grow in faithfulness, the more you grow in wisdom. There's a story, a lovely story, and I can't really say much about it tonight since I'm really trying to have us close this out, and we don't have a lot of time. But I really love the story of that woman. There's that woman, a wise woman, in 2 Samuel chapter 20. That woman, because of her faithfulness to the king, her faithfulness to her nation, her community, had the wisdom of God that was needed to save a whole city, to save a whole community. Look at her story, just a few verses of that story in 2 Samuel chapter 20. Say, wise woman. Somebody say, I'm a man of wisdom. Say, I'm a woman of wisdom. Yeah, this one right here, this woman was a woman of wisdom. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 20, and let's read from verse 19. Verse 19 says, this is this woman speaking, I am one of the peaceable and faithful. This is in the Amplified. Let's read this from the Amplified. 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 19, in the Amplified version. She said, I am one of the peaceable and faithful in Israel. She's speaking to the servant of the king, Joab, who's trying to destroy because there is a rebellion in that city perpetuated or being instigated by a rebellious man called Sheba. And this woman arose and said, no, I am one of the faithful ones in this city. And she accosted the king's servant who was out there to try to kill Sheba, but he would have almost destroyed the entire city because of that rebellious man, Sheba. So listen to that woman again. Verse 19, I am one of the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city which is a mother in Israel. Why will you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? Joab answered, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not true. But a man of the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba, son of Bichri, has lifted up his hand against the king, David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said, behold, his head shall be thrown to you over the wall. Hallelujah. Verse 22, then the woman, in her wisdom, someone say, I'm a woman of wisdom. Say, I'm a man of wisdom. Oh, hallelujah. This wise woman rose up and saved an entire city by the wisdom of God that she possessed. You know you can save your household? Do you know you can save generations of children unborn and born in your lineage? Do you know you can save those that have gone ahead of you? You can play an instrumental role in helping God deliver an entire generation of people because of your wisdom? Yeah, everybody around you may be walking in their own silly ways, but because of the spirit of wisdom that you possess, you can save an entire generation. You can elevate the lives of children. You can elevate the lives of young people. You can elevate the lives of adults, older people, because you walk in the spirit of wisdom. Oh, I pray you grow in that spirit of wisdom tonight in the name of Jesus. Look at verse 22. It says, then the woman in her wisdom went to all the people and they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and cast it down to Joab. So he blew the trumpet and they retired from the city, every man to his own home, and Joab returned to Jerusalem to the king. A woman of wisdom, a wise woman, by her wisdom, saved an entire city. So faithfulness and wisdom work hand in hand. You see there in that scripture, verse 19, where it says, she says, I'm a peaceable woman and I am faithful. I am a peaceable woman and I am faithful. Her faithfulness made the spirit of wisdom available to her to enable her save an entire generation. I am one of the peaceable and faithful in Israel. May you be one of the peaceable and one of the faithful in your lineage, in your generation, in your community, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we grow in wisdom as we grow in faithfulness. Hallelujah. The one I mentioned just before this was growing in wisdom through taming the tongue to be wholesome. And the more we tame our tongue, the Bible says the tongue is an unruly member. Who can tame it? That you can't tame it naturally, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, all of us can tame our tongue. A man and woman of wisdom is reflected and expressed in the way they talk, in the way they speak. When a fool opens their mouth, everybody knows this is a fool because of the things coming out of their mouth. But when a person of wisdom opens their mouth, everybody listens. This is a person of wisdom, and everybody wants to receive part of that wisdom. Look real quick there in James chapter 1. Oh, I love this scripture. James chapter 1. And look right there at, look at verse 19. It says, therefore, in the King James, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In the Amplified, it says, here, listen, it says, hallelujah. Verse 19, understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man and woman be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and slow to get angry. Do you know, wisdom shapes your life and your attitude and your personality in such a way that you have the right response to every situation of life that you deal with. So, growing in wisdom, in the spirit of wisdom, actually is incumbent on the diligence that we have to taming our tongue, to positioning ourselves to be a good listener, to be someone who is slow to speak. Someone who is slow to get angry. Hallelujah. Notice what it says there. Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Be swift to hear and be slow to anger. To be quick to obey. To be quick to respond to God. But be slow to speak. Be slow to become offended. Be slow to get angry. It's wisdom. Is wisdom. So wisdom is prioritizing hearing over speaking. Doing more hearing than we are speaking. doing more listening, than we are speaking. And then to let anger and the expression of anger be the farthest response that we have to the situations of life. That is wisdom. Taming ourselves to be that way. Teaching ourselves, training ourselves, learning to put a lock on our tongue. We help us grow in the wisdom of God. Committing to listening. Committing to listening. Listening more than we are talking. Committing to be far, to set things like offense and anger and all of these negative emotions far away from us will enable us grow in the wisdom of God. The spirit of wisdom will be imparted more and more to our lives because of our commitment, our deliberate and intentional commitment to tame our tongues. I love Proverbs 15, 23. Look at what it says there. Proverbs 23 and Proverbs 15 and verse 23. Proverbs 15 and verse 23. Look at what it says. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? How good is it? A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. So when you have the right response, the right answer, the right speech, and when you speak in due season, you don't just talk anyhow. When you speak when it is right, there are people who just speak anyhow. They just talk. They don't know when to talk. They don't know when to be silent. They don't know when to hold their peace. They don't know when. They just talk and talk and talk. And that's one of the biggest expressions of foolishness. No matter how old somebody is, if you find them just talk anyhow, they don't know when to be silent. Some people, you have to constantly remind them, please, don't talk right now. This is not the time to talk. You know, like we do with children. See, sometimes children just want to talk all the time, just want to do certain things all the time. And we have to constantly say, hey, shh, not now, not now. Sometimes when you really need silence and quiet, when you really need no one to be talking, you children will talk. So you have to tell them, shh, don't talk. Well, but how sad that is when we have to deal with adults that way. When you have to deal with older people that way, you constantly have to tell them, shh, this is not the time to say that. Hold your peace. Be quiet. And they just don't know. Hallelujah. But the more we tame our tongues, the more we train our tongues to speak when it's right, to be silent when it's right, the more we grow in the spirit of wisdom. The Amplified Bible says, a man has joy in making an apt answer, and a word spoken at the right moment, how good it is. A word spoken at the right moment, how good it is. There's a scripture that says, if a fool keeps silent for long enough, people will even begin to think he's wise. Hallelujah. Because learning to train and tame our tongue is an evidence of wisdom. And that is one of the ways in which the spirit of wisdom is imparted to us. Let's take some time in the latter part of our service tonight to talk about the place of counsel. Let's talk about the place of counsel. Growing in the spirit of wisdom by keeping the company of wise people and by receiving counsel from the wise. Oh, how powerful this is. Oh, how so essential this is. So many situations that a lot of believers deal with in their lives are not really difficult at all. But unfortunately, so many times we find ourselves in the wrong company. The people who are speaking into our lives, the people who are directing the course of our lives, the people who we are receiving direction from, people we are receiving counsel from, are really not people of wisdom. They may have some worldly experience. They may even have a lot of good education, but we have learned already that does not translate into wisdom. That does not translate into wisdom. Education is gathering knowledge. Wisdom is the right application of that knowledge. The Bible says you can know a fool by the company. You can know a wise person by the company they keep, and you can know a fool by the company that they keep also. Oh, beloved, it is so important, so crucial that we are people who know how, when, and where to receive sound godly counsel. The more godly counsel we receive from others, the more we grow in wisdom. The more we step up in wisdom. If there is a hardening of our hearts and a lack of humility to receive counsel from the people that God sends into our lives, we'll be trapped in destiny. We'll find ourselves sinking in the miry clay. We'll find ourselves trapped on those slopes of life, and there's no way to get out. But when we find godly counsel, oh Jesus, when we find sound godly counsel, doors open just like that. Situations just become simplified just like that. Things that are seem so difficult, so hard, so so difficult to unravel, to figure out, to understand, to explain. Suddenly those things just become easy. You just see the light of God shine on situations of life, and you just know, oh, this is the right way to go. Oh, this is the right thing to do. This is where we need to be going. This is how we need to go. These are the steps we need to take. Why? Because we receive sound counsel. Beloved, I pray that you will have the spirit of humility to receive sound counsel. Some people think, oh, I've got to have all the answers. And they go around parading themselves like they have all the answers. But that is an evidence of foolishness. Anyone who claims to know it all, anyone who claims to have all the answers, is just expressing how foolish they really are. True wise people, truly wise people, are people who are devoted to seeking counsel. They know how, when, and where to get sound and godly counsel. See that scripture we read at the beginning of the service in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of counsel and might. Oh, I'll never forget an experience I had quite a while ago. Somebody was sharing with me a situation that they were dealing with in their family that was so difficult for them. There just seemed to be no way out. And though this situation was happening in a different country from where I was living at the time, it was almost as though, as I was listening to the problems that were being shared and how impossible it was to find a way out of it, I was almost like in the spirit transported into that situation. Even though that situation was happening in a different country from where I was living at the time, And as they shared the different aspects and dimensions of this difficulty, this life difficulty was almost like an end of life, an end of a good thing, because there was no way out. Right there, in that situation, I could see the way out. I could see, oh, that's the way out, right? This is all that's all you need to do. And that other person needs to do that. Then you all need to get this other person here to do this. And right, like I was in that situation, so the spirit of wisdom came upon me. But it was so sad, because it sounded too simple to them. It sounded like, that can't be so. That's too easy. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says, wisdom will cause a man's face to shine, and wisdom will cause his heart to be bold, will cause boldness to come into his life. That is, wisdom will create ease, such ease that your face will shine, your life will shine. Sometimes the wisdom of God that comes into our life seems so easy. It is not cheap. But when you possess the spirit of God's wisdom, it is very easy. It is very easy. We're going to read a couple of scriptures here on counsel. But there's a couple of stories I might read before our time. We'll run out of time tonight. But there's a very powerful story that I really love about the man of God, Moses. The man of God, Moses. You remember that there was a time when his father-in-law, Jethro, visited with him. Moses was a man of God, anointed by God, had the spirit of God, the spirit of wisdom was resting upon him. But he was doing something, he was carrying out his operations in a way that was so hard and difficult. There was an easier way. And because he was doing it in such a hard and difficult way, he was running his life to the ground. He was running his life to the ground. He would not have survived a long time the way he was carrying on, until his father-in-law visited with him. And his father-in-law looked at what he was doing and said, "This is not good." He said, actually asked him, "What are you doing? What are you doing, Moses? Yeah, you're the man of God, but what are you doing?" And he said to him, "What you are doing is not good. What you are doing is not good. You're going to grieve yourself. You're going to grieve the people. You're going to wear yourself out." That man brought Moses counsel. Thank God Moses had the humility to receive that counsel. I want us to read this story. Let's go read it right here. In Exodus chapter 18, we're going to read from verse 13. Exodus chapter 18. What are we talking about tonight? Growing in the spirit of wisdom by keeping the company of wise people and receiving counsel from the wise. Receiving counsel. Having the humility. Oh, pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I present myself humbly before you tonight. Help me. Help me. As I move forward in my life, help me to have the spirit of humility. Help me to have humility of heart. Help me to have meekness in my heart, so that I can submit myself and receive counsel every time you send it to me. Help me, Lord, not to harden my heart. Help me not to be a fool. Help me not to despise sound counsel. Help me grow in the spirit of wisdom by having the humility to receive counsel. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Look there In Exodus chapter 18, Moses has shared a lot of testimonies with his father-in-law, Jethro. Oh, a lot of great things the Lord was doing. Oh, hallelujah. A lot of how the Lord did amazing things in delivering the children of Israel from Pharaoh and from Egypt. Oh, so many great testimonies. But he was missing something. Right here in verse 13, hallelujah. After Jethro took a burnt offering and made sacrifices unto the Lord in thanksgiving, and it came to pass in verse 13 on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning until evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, Moses thought he would have been impressed. But his father-in-law was not impressed. His father-in-law Jethro said unto him, "What is this thing that you are doing to the people? Why are you sitting yourself alone and all the people stand by you from morning until evening? Why are you doing this, Moses?" And Moses said, like many times we would say, Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God." You know, I'm the spokesperson for the Lord. I'm the only one they can really talk to get counsel. I'm the only one that really has the grace to solve all the problems. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." That was not wrong. That was not bad. But the way in which he was doing it was not a way of wisdom. And then he said, Moses' father-in-law said unto him, verse 17, "The thing that you do, what you are doing, is not good." It's not good, verse 18. "You will surely wear yourself away, both you and these people that are with you. For this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it yourself alone." You hear sometimes when people talk about how busy they are. Oh, so be. Oh, busy is great. Busy is amazing. But we have to be sure that we are walking in wisdom in the things that we're doing. Some of the things that we're doing that are crowding our lives up can actually be done in a different way, and those ways will open up our lives. There are some who go about certain circumstances and situations in their lives, and it's so hard. It's so hard. If Jethro visited them, Jethro would have said, "Oh, this is what you are doing is not good. You are going to wear yourself down. You are going to wear the people around you down. This is not good." And he gave him sound counsel. Let's read the rest of it. Our time is running. He gave him sound counsel. He said, "Hearken unto me," verse 19, "hearken unto my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you." See, God was with him, but he will grow in the spirit of wisdom if he hearkened to this counsel. "I will give you sound," oh, thank you, Jesus, "for sound counsel that you have prepared for all of our lives. And Lord, thank you for the spirit of humility to receive that sound counsel. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I speak over God's people tonight. I release the anointing, the grace for sound counsel, the humility to receive sound counsel, the meekness to receive sound counsel, and to walk in the reality of it in their lives, in the name of Jesus." He said, "Hearken to me, I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Be thou unto the people to Godward, and thou mayest bring their causes unto God, and you will teach them ordinances." He told them what to do. He told Moses what to do. Appoint some people, and on like that. Moses was still going to do what he needed to be the one doing. He would still occupy that place that he needed to occupy and deal with only the most difficult situations, only the situations that the other people could not handle. But Jethro was saying, God has surrounded you with people that can do some of the things that you're doing. You stay focused on what God has given to you, and you assign those people, and he gave him conditions. In verse 21, provide out of all the people able men and women that fear God, men of truth, women of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over these matters. He gave him sound counsel. He gave him sound counsel. Well, the Bible says, counsel is in the heart of a man. A man is like deep waters in the heart of a man. A man of understanding will draw it out. A man of understanding will draw it out. There are deep revelatory truths in the hearts of God's people. Answers, solutions, miracles. But it takes counsel. It takes counsel to bring them out. Let's read a couple of scriptures right here from the Proverbs. Proverbs 8:14. A few scriptures from the Proverbs on counsel. Actually, let's go start from Proverbs 24, and I think that might be verse 10. Let's go Proverbs 20, which is a scripture we've read before, but let's go down Proverbs 24 and let's read verse 6. Proverbs 24, let's read verse 6. It says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." In the multitude of counselors there is safety. None of us must ever undertake any initiatives, projects, visions, any kind of situations that need our attention, that need solution. We must never undertake big steps of destiny without seeking counsel first. We seek counsel from the Lord primarily. But sometimes the Lord actually puts counsel in the mouths of other people. People who are wise. People who have had experience and had the maturity of wisdom. Sometimes they are older people. If they are people that have grown in the spirit of wisdom through their years. But age does not necessarily equate to having the spirit of wisdom. But God sometimes put counsel in the mouth of people to help us unravel the wisdom of God that is available in our situation. My brother, my sister, don't let the devil bury you in that pit of frustration where you are just doing everything to find a way, but you can't find the way out. Seek counsel. Receive godly counsel. In the name of Jesus, have the humility. And when that counsel comes to you, soften your heart. Receive it. Do as you are told. Do as you are told. Don't question it. If it's from sound, godly, and Holy Spirit-filled vessels, don't go around saying, "Well, I just find out. I'll see what I pray about it. Take some time and pray about it, and see if it agrees with what the Holy Spirit is." But don't shut yourself down. Say if it doesn't make sense, I'm not going to do it. You'll be trapped for life. That will not be you in the name of Jesus. Receive counsel. Somebody say, "I'm receiving counsel." Say, even tonight, I am receiving counsel in the name of Jesus. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 14. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the spirit of counsel. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. Look at what it says. We've read Proverbs chapter 8 before. From verse 12, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and pride. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." God releases the spirit of wisdom into our lives through receiving counsel. Proverbs 11:14. through our willingness to receive counsel. Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Where no counsel is, people fall, people fail, people are frustrated, people are trapped, people are stuck where no counsel is. But in the multitude of counsel, a multitude of counselors does not mean we're trying to find out what the whole world thinks. No. Multitude of counselors mean we are surrounded by sound counsel from godly vessels that are full of the Holy Spirit. Godly vessels full of the Holy Spirit and full of the Spirit of wisdom. People who have a track record of knowing the wisdom of God and walking in the wisdom of God. We are surrounded by the counsel from such vessels. And then he says, when we do that, we will not fail. We will not be trapped. We will not fall. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12, 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Hallelujah. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth to counsel is wise. Proverbs 15, 22. Oh, I love this one. Proverbs 15, 22. Oh, I love this. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Without counsel, something you desire, something you long for, something you purpose to achieve, something you purpose to gain in your life, will not happen. Purposes will be disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they become established. They become established. Purpose is established in the multitude of counselors. Listen to how the Amplified Version puts this. Where there is no counsel, purposes are frustrated. Purposes are frustrated where there is no counsel. Frustrations pile up for lack of counsel. Frustration. It's almost like you are hearing it, you are seeing it, but you can't decode it. You are hearing it, you are seeing it, but you can't decode it. Frustrations pile up. You don't know how to unravel it. It's right there before your eyes, but you don't know what to do with it. You are the one living it. You are the one in the experience every day. Every day. You can see it, you can hear it, but you don't know how to make it work together. You don't know how to connect the dots. You don't know how to draw the same conclusion God will draw if he was in that same situation. Because you lack counsel. Because you lack counsel. You can hear it. You can see it. But you don't know what to do with it. You don't know what to do with it. Oh, that will not be you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I said that will not be you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I love Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. Let's read that, and then I want us to just quickly read before our time goes here. I want us to go and quickly read Samuel, story of Samuel. Oh, purposes are frustrated where there is no counsel. You can hear it, you can see it, but you don't know what to do with it because you lack counsel. You don't have counsel. It abounds around you. You can see it. You can hear it. You know there's something you are missing. People say, have you heard people say, you probably said it yourself many times. There's a missing link somewhere. There's a missing link somewhere. Yeah, there is a missing link. Yes, there is a missing link. That missing link is called wisdom. And many times that wisdom is discharged to us through godly counsel. There's a missing link, yes. But godly counsel will help you see that missing link. and a heart of humility that's not arguing with it, that is not hardened against it, but that is yielded, that is willing to receive, willing to receive, humble and meek to submit to it. Ah, you find all the frustrations crashing down. There are no more frustrations. You found the answers. You found the way. When it looked like there was no way out, suddenly you found the way out. Why? Because you got sound and godly counsel. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. Let's read verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Man, woman of understanding. I pray for you that in the day when you need that man of understanding to help draw out your counsel, you would find them, you will find that you've been surrounded by them, and that they have the counsel that you need in your life available to help you get to your next level. Look at verse 18. I think it's verse 18 it is. Verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. With good advice make war. Every purpose is established by counsel. Hallelujah. 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 Frustrations pile up where there is no counsel. Let's read real quickly. We've got to close this. Our time is almost up. Hallelujah. We are 52 minutes. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. 1 Samuel, let's read chapter 3. Let's read from verse 7 to 11. Yeah, the frustrations pile up. Purposes are frustrated where there is no counsel. Where there is no counsel, purposes are frustrated, but they are established when the counsel of God shows up. They are established when the counsel of God shows up. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 7. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called a child. You remember when the Lord was trying to speak to that young boy Samuel, he was hearing it, but he didn't know what to do with it. He heard it and he thought it was the priest that was calling him. It was the voice of the Lord that he was hearing, but he did not know. He could not decode it. And he took a man, even though that man was already out of favor with God, he took that man who had sound, godly wisdom and experience in walking with God. He took that man to pull out the counsel of God for this young boy. He said he thought that it was the priest that called him. He thought it was the priest that called him. So Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord. This is verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call you again, that you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Simple instruction. Simple direction. Simple direction. Go lie down again, and if you hear him again, just simply say, Speak, Lord, your servant heareth. What did Samuel do? He had the humility to receive that counsel. He did exactly what that man told him. And verse 10, the Lord came. The Lord came and stood and called us at other times. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak for thy servant here. He said exactly what the man of wisdom had told him to say. He didn't change it. He didn't process it. He did exactly what that man of wisdom told him to do. See, that's the humility in receiving counsel. And because he did that, then the Lord said in verse 11 to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Hallelujah. Suddenly, there was an unraveling of the wisdom of God. Suddenly, the doors that had been shut came open. Suddenly, heaven was open. Suddenly, solution came. Answers came. You will find solutions in the name of Jesus. You will find answers to your questions in the name of Jesus. In the day when you need the Lord to speak, the Lord will not be silent and you will not be deaf. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you will have the humility of heart to receive sound counsel. Oh, glory to God. You will not say, no, it does not line up with my way. It's not what I want to do. No. Jeremiah 6:16, you will stand in the way at the crossroads and you will ask the Lord, Lord, where is the good way? Where is the good way? And when the Lord shows you that good way, you will walk in it. And because you walk in it, you will find rest for your souls. You will not be one of those that say, I can't do that. That does not line up with what I've always thought. I did it different before. And I just think it's going to be too costly for me to go back and do it. No, you will not be that way. You will receive counsel. You will walk in counsel. And the blessing of sound wisdom will be manifest in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Let's read this last scripture. Remember, seeking and receiving godly counsel requires humility. James 3:13. You remember where it says there in verse 13, who is a wise man and who is a wise woman and endued with knowledge among you? Let them show out of a good conversation their works with the meekness of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom is the humility of heart to receive counsel and to walk in sound wisdom. May that be you. May that be your portion. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless your holy name for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for all these weeks. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all the instructions you've given us over several weeks, a couple of months now. We are thankful to you. Thank you, Father, for helping us find the wisdom of God. Thank you, Spirit of Wisdom, for resting upon us, for growing within us, for being enlarged in our hearts. We give you praise, Father. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen.